Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
You know, it doesn't seem fair, but it seems to be a fact that the decisions of our forebears can leave their unwelcome mark on our own lives. A combination of genetics, the way you were raised, the character flaws of your parents and grandparents, they all may leave you struggling with things like sickness, addictions, or financial difficulty. You may even have the same character flaws that they did. But here's the good news. Neil Anderson, author of The Bondage Breaker and other books on spiritual freedom, says that while we can be cursed, quote-unquote, by things that we never asked for, things that aren't even our fault, it doesn't have to stay that way. Tonight, Neil joins us for one last time as we wrap up this series on the seven steps to freedom. Tonight we're looking at this, this decision between curses versus blessings. And he's on the line again now. Neil, it's been a very important series, and thanks for joining us one more time.
I'm glad to do it.
Some people listening to us will hear the word curses, and pictures of witches and wizards will be, coming to their mind, cooking up potions and things. What do you mean by the word curses? And are they actually real kind of spiritual entities or psychological states of mind or what?
Well, suppose I said, gee, I think you're really a dumb jerk. And I just cursed you. Now, what impact did that have on you? If you were really impressed, say, with me, and I said that to you, you probably could easily be crushed. You would say, oh, my gosh, the guy thinks I'm stupid, I'm a jerk, and whatever else, and go home and lick your wounds. But if you were a mature person, you would say, isn't that sad? This guy's got a ministry, and he doesn't know enough to, he shouldn't even judge me. But I don't accept that. I know who I am. That would be the proper response, by the way. But that's what we're talking about. And in the spiritual realm, it doesn't necessarily come from some, Satanist riding on a broom or something like that. It usually is an internal problem. I mean, I just feel cursed inside, stupid, dumb, ugly, no good. And so people struggle with those kind of things and unfortunately kind of give into it. So, curses is not just in the spiritual realm. It's just a sad part of life. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're not to judge one another. We're not to attack somebody's character. We should discipline. This may be worth mentioning, by the way. Punishment and discipline are not the same thing. Punishment is retroactive. That's a law concept, eye for eye, where discipline is always a future concept. I'm disciplining you so you can share in God's holiness, so that you don't do it again. Hmm. And it's a totally different issue. And a lot is done in our world today in the name of discipline, and actually it's just punishment. It's just I'm angry at you, and so I strike out and hit you. If you're a parent and do that, you should ask your child forgiveness because what you did is wrong. But this is a bigger issue because this cycle of abuse is so well known. Nobody questions that. Even the secular world clearly sees this. The abusers have been abused. And the good news is we are new creations in Christ. But if you want to appropriate that, then you need to have some process of genuine repentance and belief in God. Actually, my staff wanted to call this curses. I just used to call it acquiescence. You just given in to something when you don't have to.
Okay.
Now understand this. You are never guilty for your parents' sin. That's not what we're saying.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Is it kind of, hang on a sec, why are we guilty for things that other people have done against us if they've actually cursed us in some kind of way? How are we guilty and why do we need to repent?
Well, suppose your parents, stupidly laid pornography around and you say, that's my parents. They go, this isn't my fault. I said, you're right, it's not your fault that they left it around, but you're going to have to assume responsibility of picking up and looking at it yourself. And mm-hmm. If you won't assume that responsibility, I can't help you. Now, I can help you out of this thing. It's unwise of your parents to do that, and you can be mad at them, but I would suggest you forgive them, let God deal with them, and you accept God's provision for your life. Mm. Actually, where this shows up more than anything else is when parents have been in some type of a cult or occult.
Mm-hmm.
That's where this will show up the most. And for some incredible reason, all the way through this process, I have to keep reminding people, it's not over, tell it's over. But for some reason, when you get to this last one, it's over. When they make this final declaration in prayer, I'll have them just stop and say, close your eyes for a minute. And I say, is it quiet in your mind? And people will just be astonished. They'll, yes, and some cry, and some will say, how'd you know that would happen, and whatever.
Mm.
And here's another thing for the church to listen to. Almost every time, I will have them begin the process by asking the Lord to guide them again. But when they're done, kind of renouncing the sins of the parents, that type of thing, I said, read this declaration and this prayer. I want you to read it first so you know exactly what you're declaring and praying for, if you agree to do it. and they read it and they agree. When does freedom come? They just read it and told me they agreed with it. Nothing happened. It wasn't until they actually verbally made the declaration and the prayer that suddenly the freedom is there.
What is that declaration?
That speaks volumes. I mean, that's the kind of thing you know, seminary should be struggling with all across the country. Why is that the case? And part of it is if you believe in your mouth, in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. And for whose benefit are you doing that? Well, not for yours. You've made a choice inwardly, and it's not for God, because he knows the thoughts and intentions of your heart. It's got to be for the God of this world. But boy, that is sure proven true for me and all the people I've had the privilege to work with.
Interesting.
We have a tape we use for training here where it was professionally videotaped. A girl comes in clinically depressed, been hospitalized 3 times and all kinds of medication. And throughout the whole process, the big change started after forgiveness, of course. But at the end of the thing, I said, is it quiet? She said, yes, thank you. And her whole countenance was different. I mean, she was bright-eyed. She came in depressed and left on depressed. And that was just in a matter of about 2 hours or so.
Indeed. So just tell us about some of the common curses and the way that people acquiesce to them, and then the declaration that you mentioned before that people give, but it's only when they really pray it that it actually becomes kind of powerful. So what are the common curses that you see that people are kind of responding to, how they've acquiesced to that, and then the declaration?
Well, for instance, I mean, you were raised in a home where mom was quite severely depressed. I'd venture to say almost everybody raised in that situation is going to wonder themselves, did I inherit this? Am I going to get depressed? Or everybody got divorced, or everybody put everybody down, you know, or we're just a family full of horse thieves. And so that's what I do. I steal horses. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting issue. We don't actually dwell on this very much because God has taken care of this thing. But we do have them pray and say, what do you observe in your family? I remember a lady came up to me one time at the end of the conference. She was carrying her baby, and her husband was beside her. She said, you know, I was raised in a home where mom and dad ate the preacher for lunch every Sunday. I mean, every church I belonged to, there was always something wrong with the pastor, something wrong with him. And she came up to me, and she said, it's going to stop right here. And so I'm confessing to you our family sin. This has gone on since I was a child, and I picked up the habit, and I started to do it. But she said, it's going to stop here because I'm not going to pass this on to my child. I said, how responsible is that? I said, here's the big issue on this one, though, because the world sees this as well. You know, he's the chip off the old block or a spitting image of the old man, and you want to see what your wife's going to look like 20 years from now, look at her mother, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And I said, their issue is this nurture or is it nature? Is this genetic or is it environmental? Well, the answer is yes. Now, genetic, you can do nothing about. That DNA code is there. And environment is most of what you're dealing with. But can it also be spiritual? And the answer is yes, it can. And we've seen this. And one of the things that you will read time and time again in the Old Testament is they confess their sins and the sins of their fathers. Because they were aware of that. They were aware of the fact that this kind of like a curse. The iniquities are passed on to the third and the fourth generation. Abraham lied about his wife. You remember that? Said it was the Pat tried to pass her off as his sister.
Yes.
Isaac, his son, did exactly the same thing. Now, I don't think that was genes, but I don't think it was the environment. I don't think Abraham said, hey, if anybody threatens your wife, just pass her off as your sister. Didn't work for me, but it may work for you. I don't think that transpired. I think this was more spiritual. Jacob lied about everything. Joseph comes along, given every opportunity to lie to save face, doesn't do it, and every time he tells the truth, he gets in trouble. So it may not just be a curse. It may be also God will put a stop to it after the third or fourth generation. But it will go on. And so you're going to discipline your kids the way you were disciplined unless you make some concerted effort to rethink it or to change. And so we just keep passing these things along family lines, and it's up to us to say, it's going to stop here.
And what is that declaration that you get people to read out at the end?
Well, the declaration, well, essentially, I hear and now reject and disown all the sins of my ancestors. As one who has been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's Son, I declare myself to be free from those harmful influences. I'm no longer in Adam. I'm now alive in Christ. Therefore, I'm a recipient of the blessings of God upon my life as I choose to love and obey him. And so it just basically, it's actively taking your place in Christ, asserting again, I'm a new creation, and essentially you're affecting, through genuine repentance, your own personal freedom, which God purchased for you on the cross.
Yeah.
By the way, there are some comments in here about daily prayer that we encourage people who come out of tough stuff to just maintain their freedom. Getting free is one thing, staying free is something else. But there, at the end, I always have them read through a list of who we are in Christ and let the Holy Spirit bear witness with their spirit, the children of God, because it just reinforces. I'm not a product of this world. I'm not a product of my past. I'm a product of the work of Christ on the cross. I am a new creation in Christ. I'm God's child. I'm Christ's friend. I have been justified. You've seen the list probably.
Yes.
It's in several of my books because it's so important to know who you are. The last thing the devil wants you to know is who you are in Christ. Because once you know that, once you're secure in Christ, people, listen, the battle's at least half over.
Yes. We've got that list up on our website now because it is so important, as you said, is that the identity of the Christian, and this is why it's, here's the benefit if you're not a Christian, one of the benefits of actually considering deeply about submitting to Jesus Christ as your boss and your owner and your director, because this is what you become. You become a new creation and you become a new person with a new identity, and that does give you a lot of spiritual protection. I mean, just list some of those qualities of the person who is now a Christian, the identity statement that you've got there, Neil. It's really quite important.
Well, it's in three categories, and this is important. In Christ, I'm accepted. I'm secure. I'm significant. You cannot accomplish that for yourself.
Mm.
But because I am a child of God, I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. These are all scriptures, people. I'm not making these up. It's not my list. It's right out of scripture. I'm united with the Lord. I'm one spirit with him. I've been bought with a price. I belong to God. I'm a member of Christ's body. I'm a saint, a holy one, a child of God. I've been adopted as God's child. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. I've been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I'm complete in Christ. I'm free from condemnation. I'm assured that all things work together for good. I'm free from any condemning charges against me. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I've been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I'm confident that the good work God has begun in me will be perfected. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm hidden with Christ and God. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. I can find grace and mercy to help in time of need. I'm born of God. The evil one cannot touch me. I'm the salt of the earth, the light of the world. I'm a branch of the true vine, Jesus, the channel of his life. I've been chosen and appointed by God to bear fruit. I'm a personal spirit and power witness to Christ. I'm a temple of God. I'm a minister of reconciliation for God. I'm God's co-worker. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. I'm God's workmanship, created for good works. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, listen, Christian, everything I just said there is true about you. And it's not true because of what you've done. It's true because of what Christ has done. But if you don't know Christ, none of those are true about you. Salvation is a gift from God. And when I turned my life over to Christ and accepted his love and his forgiveness and no condemnation, I mean, my whole world changed. And my whole eternity changed, for that matter. The huge enemies of death and sin are something that in Christ and only in Christ can we triumph over. And when we have, then life becomes meaningful and purposeful, and this is why we're here.
Yes.
And so do I know who I am? Absolutely. I don't get my identity out of all my degrees or my natural heritage. It's my spiritual heritage. It's my real, true life that I have in Christ that's eternal. That's where I base my whole identity. It's me and has received him. To them he gave the right to become children of God.
Yeah.
So, dear people, that's who I am. I'm a child of God.
Yeah, and that can never be taken away. It can never be robbed by sickness or by death or by a financial misfortune. It can never be taken away from you. So important. Neil, thanks for this series. It's been really quite important, and I believe it will be a very, very impacting on so many people's lives. And God bless you and all the work that you've done and all that's still left for you to do in the years ahead.
Well, thank you. Maybe someday God will give me a chance to come back to Australia again.
We look forward to
that. I've enjoyed my visits here.
Yeah.
Great place.
Yeah, well, we look forward to that time to heaven. Neil Anderson, he's the founder of Freedom in Christ Ministries and author of books like The Bondage Breaker, Victory Over the Darkness, and 50 other titles about this whole notion of finding spiritual freedom. Now, if you've missed any of the series, make sure you head back to our website, openhouseonline.com.au. Click on the Listen Again little tag there, and you'll be able to find the series and download them all. And don't forget to head off to Neil's website as well, Freedom in Christ Ministries. It's ficm.org, ficm.org.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.